All right. Well, if you have your Bibles tonight, you can find your place in Revelation chapter number 4. Revelation chapter number 4. And got some other folks coming in. We got a handout for you. Mandy will get that to you there. And so the last time we gathered on a Sunday evening was back in, March it was. And we looked at Revelation chapter 1 and we saw the Christ unveiled. That's what we studied. That's what we looked at. And we saw that before God revealed judgments and beasts and plagues and the events of the last days, he first revealed himself. He first revealed Jesus Christ. Now, when we get into the book of Revelation, that's what everybody's, really interested in. They're interested in the judgments and the plagues and the beasts. And they're interested in the events of the last days. And, you know, rightfully so. It's our human nature to wonder, well, what happens, what comes after, you know, we're all said and done here after we're raptured and we're, you know, basically in heaven. What happens after that? And we're going to get to that, and we're going to start getting to that a little bit tonight. But there in chapter 1, we saw him walking among the candlesticks. Of course, the candlesticks being churches of that day. And if we would go into Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, of course, we'd see the seven churches of Laodicea, or just the seven churches in general, the candlesticks that he was talking to. We saw that he had eyes like a flame of fire. He had a voice as many waters. He was the one who loved us and washed us in his own blood. And he is the one holding the keys of both hell and of death. And one of the things we said was that, you know, the book of Revelation, because after chapter 3, the church doesn't appear. So what we know is the church here, after chapter 3, the church is out of there. The church does not appear after Revelation chapter 3. So chapter 4 onward, in fact, towards the end of the book, the word church just occurs one other time in the remainder of the book. But it's easy to think, well, the book of Revelation, it's about the Antichrist. And the Antichrist, of course, and really, there's many forms of Antichrist. For everything God has that's true, Satan has something that is false. And so that's what Antichrist is. If it's true according to God, Satan has something that is false. But eventually, someday, the Antichrist is going to rise to power. And that's what many people think the book of Revelation is all about, but it's not. It's primarily about Jesus himself. It's primarily about the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Now, again, like I said this morning, and even I think in our text yesterday, ordinarily, what we would do, because we're going in order here in the book. And so we started with chapter 1, so the next logical set would have been Revelation chapter 2, Revelation chapter 3, the seven churches. But and those chapters, those verses, those churches there, they're tremendously important. But here's the thing, and they reveal Christ's message to the churches, and they prophetically outline the church age. And so, if we want to know, well, where do we fall? And really, we could say, well, we're in the Laodicean church age, where we're lukewarm. We're not on fire. We're not cold, but we're not where we want to be. We're lukewarm. So that's where we would be. But, you know, through the years, I mean, I've lost count. I mean, we've looked at the seven churches in Revelation a number of times in the last 6 or so years. And we spent a great deal of time on the seven churches. Sunday morning, about a year and a half, 2 years ago, we went through a whole series on the seven churches. So I didn't really see the need to preach through them again, because we've already preached through them. But just for kind of to refresh our memory, you had Ephesus, who lost their first love. You had Smyrna, who dealt with persecution. You had Pergamos, who dealt with compromise. You had Thyatira, who dealt with corruption. You had Sardis, who dealt with dead religion. You had Philadelphia, who was the open door. And then you had Laodicea, who was the lukewarm church. And that's where we would kind of fall on the church age, the prophetic outline of the church age. And so tonight, again, just rather than reteaching that material that we've covered before, what I want us to do is move directly into Revelation chapter 4 and chapter 5, because now, after chapter 2 and after chapter 3, after the message to the seven churches, now the scene changes dramatically. Again, the church is taken out. The church is no longer here. And so in chapter 1, Christ is revealed. In chapter 2, the churches are addressed. But now here in chapter 4, we see that the viewpoint now leaves earth. So now John is going to take us from earth where he is on the Isle of Patmos, and he's going to take us in to heaven. And so again, the church disappears from the earthly scene, heaven opens. And so tonight, that's what we want to see. We want to see kind of a throne, a book, a lamb, and just overall looking at the thought of the lamb being enthroned, the lamb being enthroned. So the first thing we want to see tonight is the door opened. The door opened. Notice there, chapter 4 and verse number 1. Chapter 4 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter." And so we see here, after the church age, the scene now changes from heaven to earth. And John sees here, he sees this open door, and he hears this voice, and he hears this trumpet, that a trumpet-like voice, and he's called upward. It says, "Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter." And so when we think about, okay, what is next on God's prophetic calendar? What's next when it comes to what's happening next? What is God going to do next? And well, we see it's not the Antichrist. It's the catching away of the saints. It's us being raptured. And so we're going to be taken out of this world. We're going to be raptured up, and we're going to be with the Lord. And so that gives us an encouragement tonight that, you know, sometimes we think, well, this world, you know, where we are now, this world is permanent. This is all there is to life. And it's not. This world is not permanent. And so when John says here, and he hears this trumpet-like voice, he says, "Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter." Go ahead and take your Bibles and go over to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians, keep your finger in Revelation. First Thessalonians, and where is it? Second Thessalonians. There we go. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4 and we'll begin at verse number 13. Verse number 13. The Bible says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep." And here's the key, verse number 16. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel," and here's the phrase, "and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet them in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." So in Revelation chapter 4 and verse number 1, when John hears this voice as a trumpet, we can equate that to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the trump that's going to sound, and we're going to be called to come up hither, and we're going to be taken out of here. And so that's what we see first tonight. We see the door open. But then secondly, we see the throne established. We see the throne established. Notice there, Revelation chapter 4 and verse number 2. The Bible there says, "And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne." And so we see again here, before God shows judgment. And remember, here in Revelation, judgment is coming. The plagues are coming. The beasts are coming. All of those things are coming. But before God shows that, he shows a throne. And it's very easy for us, especially, look at the world around us and think the world looks chaotic. But we have to be reminded tonight that heaven is not in chaos. So whatever's happening down here, it does not affect what's going on up there. And we see that there's still a throne in heaven. And it's not an empty throne. It's not a threatened throne, but it's a throne that is occupied by Almighty God. And so God opens the door. He tells us to come up hither. And the very first thing we're going to see when we get to heaven, we're going to see that throne, because we're going to be there to worship him for all of eternity. And then we see, thirdly, we see the worship that is offered. The worship that is offered. Notice verse number 11. Revelation chapter 4 and verse number 11. The Bible there says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." Now, after chapter 2, after the throne, we have kind of a description of the throne through the remainder of the text there. And those all have kind of their different meanings that we won't get into tonight, but it'll be touched on later in Revelation, and we'll define some of those key terms as we get a little bit further into the book. But here we see the worship that is offered. We see that the elders, they fell down. The crowns are cast at his feet, and praise fills heaven. And so we see that real worship begins with having a right view of God. And so if we realize who God is, then we're going to have that real worship. And the problem, you know, in modern church today, it's not a lack of talent. A lot of churches have talent. They do. But it's a lack, you know, it's a lack of awe. It's a lack of reverence. It's a lack of, you know, when we come to church, we're coming to worship a holy and mighty God. And you notice what the verse says there in verse number 11. Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy. And that's what we have to remember tonight, is that God, he's worthy of our worship. And when we get to heaven, you know, that's what we're going to be doing. We're going to be worshiping him. And you know, any crowns that we get, and again, we're going to get into the crowns a little bit later as we go through the book here, but, you know, they're not so, you know, growing up. If you ever played a sport or participated in a competition and you got a trophy or a medal or something, and maybe you proudly displayed that, you know, on your mantle or in a display cabinet or something like that, and you could point to that and people could talk about it and ask about it, and you could brag on that because that was something you accomplished. And when it comes to the crowns that we get, it's not so we can have them on display and brag about them and say, look at all the crowns I earned on earth. The crowns are so that we can cast them back at his feet, because as verse number 11 says, thou art worthy. And then the fourth thing we see tonight is the book presented. The book presented. Notice Revelation chapter 5 and verse number 1. Revelation chapter 5 and verse number 1. The Bible there says, and I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And so this sealed book, it is a representation of God's judgment, the program that he's going to use, the title deed to the earth. And we see here that no man is worthy to open it. There's only one that can open it, and that's God himself. And we see John, he weeps because humanity cannot redeem itself. Government cannot redeem the world. Technology. Listen, the technology we have today. You just think about the AI and the advancements in technology. Technology can't redeem the world. Religion cannot redeem the world. The world needs a savior. And so this book here, it says it has seven seals. That's going to be the seven judgments, the seven the seven plagues, as it were. And it also has the title deed to the earth. And we're going to see that God owns the earth. And that's what's in this book. And then we see, fifthly, we see the Lamb revealed. Notice there, verse number 6 of chapter 5. Verse number 6 of chapter 5. And the Bible there says, and I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And so we see here, John hears of this lion, but he sees a lamb. And that's a picture of who Jesus is. Because Jesus is both lion and lamb. He is both judge and savior. He's both majesty and meekness. He's both of these things all combined into one. And heaven centers around the lamb that was slain. That's what verse number 6 is talking about here when it says, stood a lamb as it had been slain. And again, a church that loses its focus on Christ. That's why we say Revelation or Colossians 1:18, that in all things he might have the preeminence. And when we lose our focus on Christ, when we get our eyes off of him, we lose our reason to exist. And then we see number 6 tonight. We see the song proclaimed. The song proclaimed. Notice verse number 9. Revelation chapter 5 and verse number 9. The Bible says there, and they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And so we see heaven here, they begin to sing redemption song. And where in verse number 1, no man was worthy to open the book, well, now we get to Jesus, the Lamb slain, And now he is the one who is worthy to open this book. And we see they sing again of redemption song. They don't sing of works or religion or morality. But we see here that it's the blood that still saves. It's the blood that still cleanses. It's the blood that still redeems. And then we see seventh and finally tonight that the future is safe because the Lamb is worthy. The future is safe because the Lamb is worthy. Notice verse number 12. Revelation chapter 5 and verse number 12. Saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." We see that he is worthy. And it's because he is worthy that the seals will be opened. That book that has the seven seals, they will be opened. Evil will be judged. Satan will fall. Christ will reign. And so here in chapter 4, we see there's still a throne. There's still a book. There's still a Lamb. And we see that God is still on the throne. And Jesus Christ is still worthy. And we see that the future is safe because the Lamb is worthy. Again, you know, when we get into the book of Revelation, a lot of people, and rightfully so, because the book of Revelation, I mean, we're doing what would be called a survey of the book of Revelation. We're not really, you know, we're trying to dig deep, but not dig too deep, because, you know, we're trying to condense it into like a four-week series, and it's a lot to condense. And but, you know, because there's a lot, there are people, they read the book of Revelation, and they usually fall into one of two camps. Number one, they just don't understand it. And they, you know, they read it, but they don't really try to understand it. They just try to avoid it. But then the second group is that they read it, they understand it, and they become fearful of it because they see it, because this is the future. If you go back, Revelation chapter 4 and verse number 1, last part, "Come up hither and I will show thee things which must be hereafter." And so things which must happen. These are things that still have not happened. A lot of our Bible, a lot of our prophecy, it's already happened. But Revelation is a book of prophecy that is still being fulfilled. And so folks look at it, they read it, and they think, man, the future is scary. The future is bleak. The future, you know, I don't want to go through that. And we have to remind folks that if you're a Christian, after chapter 3, you're out of here. So chapter 4 onward, it doesn't apply to us because we're not going to be here for any of it. And what it should do, it shouldn't scare us. It shouldn't, you know, cause us worry. But it should challenge us to say, okay, here's what's coming. Now, who in my life doesn't know Jesus? Who in my life, you know, we're not going to live through this, but who in our life, if they're left behind, they are going to live through this. And now we know, and again, we're going to get into this as we get a little deeper into Revelation, that there's going to be some second chances for folks to come to Christ. There are. But what happens to those who are left behind? And so we, you know, that needs to challenge us that, okay, we're not going to be here for it, but who in our life do we need to talk to that, you know, and even if they don't listen to you, even if they, you know, blow you off, at least you did your part. At least you tried to say, you know, that, you know, this is something you need to know. And, but we need to just know tonight that the future, at least for the Christian, is safe because the Lamb is worthy. And so tonight we see that there's this throne. He's on the throne. We see that there's this book. And in the next session in, I believe, August, we're going to get into These seven seals, we're going to break them down, see what they are, and explain them. But we see that there's this book, but then we see there's the Lamb, and that he's the one who is worthy to open them. And so tonight we need to just be reminded that God is still on this throne, and he is still worthy of our worship. And so let's pray. And